Hi, I'm going to provide a crash course today on the Great Commission and Unreached People Group by answering some relevant questions. First, what is an Unreached People Group? First, a people group is an adequately large group of individuals with a common affinity, and they would be unreached or are unreached when there's not enough indigenous believers or the indigenous community of believing Christians is not able to evangelize this people group, and typically that would be defined by being less than 2% evangelical Christian. But to help you better understand an unreached people group, I want you to imagine your neighborhood and imagine that your mother and one of your siblings live next door, and there's a fire in your neighborhood. And it's a very serious fire, and you are trapped in your house. Your mom and your sibling are trapped in their house next door to you. But and their fire companies come, and firemen come, and they're putting out the fire of the house in the house of your neighbors across the street, your neighbors next to you, and on the other side of your mother and sister. But you're baffled and perplexed because the firemen are ignoring you. They're not coming to your house and putting out the fire in your house. You're trapped. You're screaming. Your lives are in danger, and the firemen are not rescuing you. They're saving your neighbors, and they're bypassing you. And how does that make you feel? Well, that might give you a little bit of an understanding of what it's like to belong to an unreached people group. Now, I also want you to imagine another fire situation here. Two different towns, but there are apartment fires in two locations. Now, in the first location, there's a big apartment on fire, but this apartment has lots of windows, lots of doors, lots of fire escapes, and you should see how many fire engines there are. There are ladder engines, there are fire engines, there are firemen everywhere. There's even a fire helicopter. And so at this fire, it looks like there's a very good opportunity, and it's very likely that anybody trapped in there could get out and could be rescued and could be saved. But at the same time, there's another fire in a different apartment building. This apartment building has no windows, has very few doors, and as you look at the apartment building on fire, there are no firemen. There are no fire engines. There is nobody there to rescue people from this fire. So in the second fire, there's a significant chance that people will not be able to escape that fire, and they may perish in that fire because there's nobody there to rescue them, and there's hardly any way to get out. And now that situation also describes a lot of the world today regarding the status of the gospel and the Great Commission. And where the gospel has been established, there's a significant likelihood of people being rescued because there are many opportunities for people to escape the fire and to be rescued. But in places where the gospel has not been, it's a very real possibility that people will not be able to escape the fire because they have not heard the truth about Jesus, and there's nobody there to rescue them. So why are unreached people groups so important? Well, what did Jesus say? In Matthew 24:14, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." This one Greek word that I know for the word nations here is ethne. The Greek word ethne, and you can tell just listening to it, it sounds like ethnic. So it's not just political entities, it's ethnic groups. But this verse, I think more than anything else in the Bible, gives me a clue about when Jesus is coming back, when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all ethnic groups. And I believe Jesus has not come back yet because we have not finished that assignment. Now, let's look at another verse in Revelation 5:9. "And they sang a new song, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" Again, that word nation is really the Greek word ethne. But why did the Lord find it necessary, into his word, to put synonyms, redundant words, perhaps, every tribe and language and people and nation? Is it perhaps because he wanted to make it very clear and obvious to us that these are distinct ethnic groups and people groups speaking different languages? That is that why? I don't know. I wonder. And another verse I like regarding the importance of unreached people groups is in 2 Peter 3:12. It says, as you look forward to the day of the God and speed its coming. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. I think we can help speed up the Lord's return by completing the task that he gave us. Now, let's also look at the Apostle Paul and his emphasis on the unreached. Paul was a prototype cross-cultural missionary. In Romans chapter 15, verses 20 and 21, he said, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. So Paul was really the first missionary, New Testament missionary in the Bible, and he's clearly talking about and emphasizing reaching the unreached, boldly going where no man has gone before. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 to 16, Paul wrote that our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, for we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory. So Paul wanted to go beyond where others had been. He wanted to preach where others had not preached before. And that's vitally important today in the Great Commission. Now, how does Jesus see the unreached? Well, think about some of the parables Jesus shared with us. For example, the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus taught us that one lost sheep is so important that it's okay to leave the 99 behind and to prioritize and focus on that one lost sheep. That one lost sheep is so valuable, it's necessary to pursue it, just to go after it and leave the other 99 behind until that one is found. Jesus spoke about a lost coin. He shared how that lost coin was so valuable that it was necessary to put everything else aside and stop everything else and focus on finding that lost coin. And this involved bringing light to the dark places in order to help see where that coin is, in order to help find it. It's necessary to bring light to darkness, to focus on that lost coin. Jesus emphasized the importance of a lost son, and in this we see the great love and compassion of a good father whose heart is broken over his lost son, and apparently the father was waiting for the son, because otherwise he would not have been able to run out and meet that lost son when he finally did return if he had not been on the lookout for him. But the father is very, very concerned about his lost children. They are a high priority to them. He loves them. He's praying and interceding for them, wanting to come back, because the lost son is very important to the father. And even the unreached in the Old Testament were important to God. Just think about Jonah's story. These were not Jews. These were people outside of the kingdom. And they were so important to God that he wanted to send a messenger to warn them. And despite that Jonah's reluctance, God went out of his way in order to get Jonah there, even using a whale. Think about the people of Nineveh. Jonah 4:11 says they cannot tell their right hand from their left. And maybe they were spiritually clueless, but God had compassion on them, didn't want them to perish, because he cares about the unreached. He wants them to repent and turn from their ways and come into a relationship with him. So, where are most of the unreached? Well, the large majority of the unreached are in Northern Africa, the Middle East, and Southern Asia, a area of the world commonly referred to as the 1040 window. Now, granted, unreached people, people from those areas of the world, often can be found in many areas of the world, including the United States and other countries. But the three major other religions are primarily located in that in those areas. Think about it. Islam is located in North Africa and the Middle East. Hinduism is located primarily in India, and Buddhism located primarily in Southern Asia. So that's where most of the unreached are located. Now, somebody might say, all lost people are equally lost, and God loves everybody. He loves all the lost. So why should we distinguish the unreached? And I want to tell you a little story about two people on the 4th of July. One is a swimmer. Let's say he's swimming in Lake Michigan on a beautiful hot summer day, and the beach is packed, but this swimmer all of a sudden starts to drown. But you know what? There's a very good chance that the life of this swimmer will get saved because he's surrounded by other people. And one of those other persons nearby him may have had some life training or lifeguard training. And even if that's not the case, on the beach not far away are lifeguards with rescue equipment. So on this crowded 4th of July, there's a very good possibility that this drowning swimmer can be rescued. But at almost the same time, in the middle of the Atlantic, in the middle of the night, there's a huge storm with 10-foot waves, and a man is out on the deck all by himself, but he's swept overboard by wind and waves, and he falls into the Atlantic at night all by himself, and nobody even knows about it. And so he's in 10-foot waves in the middle of the ocean, screaming, but nobody can hear him. There's not very much chance that this person will be saved. And this helps to explain why not all people are in the same situation, even though they're lost. Because for one lost person in many Western countries, for example, there's a very good chance or opportunity for this person to be saved because there are lots of lifeguards or lots of people who could help rescue him. But in other countries, in other places, there aren't many chances for people to be rescued because there are no rescuers. There are hardly any Christians there, or maybe no Christians there to help rescue somebody from the darkness. So that's a big difference between those in some countries versus the unreached. Now, how many unreached people groups, I'm sorry, how many unreached people are there? There are 3.1 billion unreached people. Here we are, 2,000 years after Jesus, roughly, and 42% of the world's population is unreached. 40% of the world's people groups have very little access to the truth of Jesus. So we, the church, have our work cut out for us. We have some, our job is not finished. We've got work to do. Now, why are so many unreached? Now, think about it. One reason, or a main reason, is because there are very few or perhaps no Christians where the unreached are, and they need somebody to tell them about Jesus. That's how most people come to the Lord, is from someone close to them sharing the awesome news about Jesus with them. Where the unreached are, there are very few or perhaps no churches. Nobody is praying for the unreached by name. These people may not have access to a Bible or a New Testament in their language, if they can even read, that is. They may not have the Jesus video in their language. They perhaps do not have any Christian literature, or they're not going to find a tract blowing down the street. They can't go to a hotel and find a Bible next to their bedside. They probably don't have any gospel shows on TV or radio or on their internet, if they even have computer access. So the unreached may also live in difficult-to-reach places geographically or politically. They live in countries that are often hard to get into. So another important question, think about this, is what percentage of missionaries go to the unreached? Well, considering that we just mentioned that they're about 42% of the world's population, you would hope that we would send at least 42% of our missionaries to the unreached. But even though the statistics are hard to find, I recently again saw this number confirmed, that approximately 10% of missionaries go to the unreached. So it appears that we have a significant imbalance regarding the number of the unreached and the amount of missionaries that go to, especially considering that 70% or more of missionaries go to already Christianized places where the gospel's been preached. So we seem to have our priorities a little out of balance here. Now, what if the Lord perhaps desired for everybody in the world to have equal access to the gospel, to the awesome saving news about Jesus? Well, think about the United States, for example. Not too long ago, the United States had more than six times our fair share of all the world's Christian workers. So that was more than 1.3 million people. That was more than 1.5 million people. But what if God wanted everybody in the world to have equal access to the awesome news of Jesus? Then that could perhaps mean that 1.3 million of these Christian workers would have to leave and go somewhere else, leave the country and go as a foreign missionary in order to help provide everyone in the world access to the awesome news of Jesus. Now, what people are the focus of most evangelistic activity, or who is most of the current evangelistic activity focused on? Well, actually, it's surprisingly focused primarily on Christians. Most evangelistic activity is geared towards Christians. So it's sort of like we're eating our seed that needs to be sown elsewhere. And as Christians, we also spend a lot of money on buildings, but we do not spend a lot of effort or financial activity or even share the gospel with those who need it the most. What countries have the most unreached people? India, Pakistan, China, Bangladesh and Indonesia. Let me repeat that. India, Pakistan, China, Bangladesh, and Indonesia. Now, Nepal also has a very large number of unreached people group, but the population is not quite as large as these other countries. So these are countries you can pray for, and I encourage you to pray for them on a daily basis. Just think about when you look at India on a map, pray for India, pray for the countries around there. You can't go wrong praying for these places. India has more unreached people groups than any other countries. They speak so many different languages there. Just to pray for India is important. Now, earlier we talked about the major false religions of the world. And think about this. How many Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists actually know a Christian who could tell them about Jesus? Well, sadly, only about 19% of these people even know a Christian. 81% of Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists do not know a Christian. So how are they going to hear the truth about Jesus? Who's going to tell them? Another question is, how many people will die without hearing the truth about Jesus? $16 million people per year. Now that's a large number. Let's break it down. 43,000 people per day. That's 1,800 people per hour die without hearing the truth about Jesus. Sadly, that's 30 per minute. Approximately one person will die without hearing the awesome truth about Jesus every 2 seconds. That's one person every 2 seconds. This is unfortunate, but we can make a difference. Our prayers, our giving, our going, we can help to change this. We can help make a difference. So, what can we do? What are some practical ways we can be involved regarding the Great Commission? We can send missionaries. We can support missionaries and other people. Perhaps we could go ourselves. We could go as a tent maker. We could be employed in a spiritually needier area of the world. We could do perhaps what we do now, but do it in a spiritually needy location. Here in America, we could befriend university students There are many university students from unreached people groups. We could help unreached refugees, whether that be in America, possibly in a big city, or in Europe, or somewhere else. We could help unreached refugees. Maybe we could be involved in Bible translation or missionary training, or perhaps we could teach English somewhere. There are lots of different ways that we could be involved in the Great Commission, and everyone is unique, and therefore I believe every unique person has a unique way that God has created for you to be involved in the Great Commission. Now, what answers does the Bible give us regarding the Great Commission? Well, I'm going to focus on one answer that Jesus gave us, and it's in Matthew 9:38. He said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So we can pray this on a regular basis, asking the Lord to send workers out into his harvest field. On a related note, I encourage everybody to sign up for the Joshua Project Unreached of the Day. This is the most important email I receive every day. It's a brief little email with a little bit of prayer information, but I get the privilege of praying for an unreached people group every day, and I believe that perhaps you're like me. Even though you may not be in North Africa or the Middle East or Southern Asia, you too may want to be involved in the Great Commission and make an eternal difference, and we can do that by praying. If you have a smartphone, you can get a Joshua Project Unreached of the Day app for your phone to help you pray for a different unreached people group every day. It's a brief little message. Why not spend, you know, up to a minute a day, or perhaps less, praying for a different unreached people group every day? What's another way that we can be involved in the Great Commission? We could we can give, and we can ask the Lord to direct us, and what part of our giving can help send others, because Paul wrote in Romans that how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So it's just as necessary to send laborers, to send missionaries. We can pray for missionaries, but people need to hear the truth about Jesus primarily from other people. So we can pray about Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. And some people might be wondering about any recommended resources. So I want to suggest that you can find some helpful resources on my website, advocatesfortheunreached.com. For example, you could go to advocatesfortheunreached.com/ebook, and I have a short ebook. It's free. It's probably mostly pictures and maps. You could perhaps read it in 20 or 25 minutes, and that has some helpful information in there. There are some handouts at advocatesfortheunreached.com to help you. There are some links to many different subjects related to prayer and Great Commission and Unreached People Group resources. I also encourage you to take the Perspectives class. The Perspectives on the World Christian Movement class is a worldwide class. It's in probably all the states, and it's offered in many countries around the world. It's a great class to help people live more with an eternal view. You can read great books, Great Commission books like Eternity in Their Hearts or Peace Child, Operation World. There are many resources available to help you regarding the Great Commission. And somebody might ask, how can they make an eternal difference in the Great Commission? Well, we can pray, we can give, we can go. After my search and research into which countries were the neediest, I tried to apply that information by then praying primarily for, or especially for, the unreached with the Joshua Project Unreached of the Day. My wife and I have since then started focusing our giving, our regular monthly giving, on unreached people and missionaries going to the unreached. Even in my short-term going, I had the opportunity to go to India the country with more unreached people groups than any other country. But another other ways you could help to make an eternal difference is by serving on your church's missions committee, helping to serve others in your church, helping them to find where they fit in the Great Commission and what their role is. You can support missionaries, support Bible translation, pray for missionaries, be involved in reaching out to international students, perhaps have an international student over for a meal and hopefully develop a relationship that continues after that. Maybe you could be involved with an ethnic church or help refugees somewhere. There are many spiritually needy places on the earth. Consider Afghanistan, Yemen, Iran, Pakistan, Algeria, places and people who maybe haven't heard about Jesus yet. So we can pray for them on a regular basis. Remember that 81% of Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists do not know a Christian, but you are called to be a world changer. God wants to use us to make a difference. The Great Commission isn't just for pastors and missionaries. It's for all of us. And even if we are not in the 1040 window, God can use us to make a difference, reaching out to internationals, praying, supporting missionaries, and in many other ways. So I hope that you might be able to find some helpful resources at advocatesfortheunreached.com, like my free short ebook, for example. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to contact me through an email link at advocatesfortheunreached.com. But I hope this question and answer session was helpful for you. And if you have any other questions, please feel free to contact me. And I encourage you to also be an advocate for the unreached, to help be a voice for the voiceless, a voice for the voiceless, especially in prayer. We can stand in the gap and pray that we would soon complete the task that Jesus left us to do. So God bless you as you complete and serve your role in the Great Commission.